Welcome to Scary Stories, a channel that tells you scary stories.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard.
The sub-basement. As told to Peter Bernard, read by PQ River. I've lived in the city, and I've lived in the country, and I've had my share of spooky things happen to me in both types of places, but the scariest things that ever happened to me happened in the least mysterious-seeming place at all, the suburbs. Back in the 70s, my late wife and I used to live in a house on a block where 7 out of the 10 houses looked like mine. We used to joke that when aluminum siding died, it went to our block to spend eternity. Originally, in the late 1940s, 7 lots were inherited by one brother and 3 by another, and they each hired different architects to put up houses to rent. When I first moved in, the then-current landlady, she owned this entire block and the next 3 over, told me my house was the only one of them with a sub-basement. I mentioned it might be a good place to use as storage, but she said it was too damp to store anything of value in it. She told me I had a right to use it, but she cautioned against it.
It might be useful for a Halloween party, she suggested as she chuckled, but not much more. That's why I don't charge you any extra. It's not a usable room.
I took her advice and basically forgot about the place. There was enough closet space in the upstairs for our needs. My wife made me spring for a washer-dryer set, and I installed them in the basement myself, which was no mean feat back in those days. You couldn't watch a tutorial on YouTube and find out how to do it back then. I was working as a dispatcher in a shipping company, which was a good job in the 70s. At least when you added in the cash, the guys would slip you on the side. But this is not a story about that. Sometimes, my wife Shirley would call me while I was at work, and she'd be crying. She said there was something living in the sub-basement, and it was whispering obscene things to her. Shirley became afraid to do the laundry, and I sure as hell wasn't going to do it. That weekend, I got a neighbor of ours named Frank who owned a gun, and then I armed myself with my old Big Beam number 111 flashlight, and we both went down there to have a look around. It looked just the same as it had when I was in there with the landlady. Just cement walls and a cement floor, plus the doorway we were standing in. "What should we do?" asked Frank. "Feel around for secret passages?" "Let's just look around," I suggested. And that we did. We couldn't find another entrance or exit. There wasn't even a drain in the floor anywhere, as I would expect in a sub-basement. "Why the hell does this place exist?" Frank asked.
I'm not sure if he was asking me.
You don't have this in your house, right, Frank? I asked, already knowing the answer.
Nobody has this except you. Everybody knows that, Frank replied testily. I'd just never seen the inside of it before.
I started to feel cold, then hot, then cold, and I wondered if I was going to lose consciousness. The room at first seemed to spin, then I realized it wasn't spinning so much as it was bending at the corners. I looked at Frank and he seemed both as confused as I was and as bendy as the room was. Reality reasserted itself like a rubber band snapping back into shape, except now we were staring at the air rippling in the center of the room. Rippling, the way water might. Frank and I flung ourselves backwards into the walls, putting as much space between ourselves and the ripple as we could. It was making a noise like one of those plastic tubes you whirl in the air, whatever those are called. Something darker or more solid seemed to be trying to form in the center of the watery air. It looked like biological matter, like random organs forming, then melting, then reforming. 2 eyeballs formed, which quickly turned and stared at us. Then it swallowed itself, making a sucking sound like the end of a toilet flush, and it was gone. And so was Frank, up the stairs faster than I could reach the door. When I got upstairs, my wife was quizzing Frank, who was babbling, "Nothing, nowhere, nothing." Then he saw me, grabbed me violently, looked me straight in the eye, and spitting as he screamed, bellowed, "I saw nothing, and if I ever hear you said that I saw anything," he shook his gun in my face and sputtered out, "I'm gonna come back here and blow you to nothing." He was so upset. He was acting like you do when you're making fun of a person for overreacting. He screamed like a comedian, "Do you understand me?" Then, not waiting for my answer, he was out the front door and gone. That was the end of our friendship. But, in retrospect, at least he kept true to his promise and didn't gossip about what we had seen. As for Shirley, she lasted about 15 seconds into my description of what had happened before telling me it was my job as her husband to get rid of whatever it was. To her, this came under the same heading as vermin, and this meant I had to remove it from our home. Now remember, this was the 1970s. There was no internet. All we had to research strange phenomena was Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of in the library, and back then, the public libraries carried extremely little about anything that might in any way help me understand what was going on in our sub-basement. Plus, there were very few people I would even want to mention this to out of fear they might think I was insane. I figured the landlady probably could at least give me the names of the previous tenants, and then maybe I could learn something about those people, and at least I might learn about what it was I was supposed to research. As luck would have it, I ran into her on the sidewalk the next morning, and after exchanging pleasantries, I dove straight into questioning her about the history of the house. She interrupted me mid-sentence.
"You've been messing around in the sub-basement, haven't you?"
"Who told you?" I asked, panicked.
"Nobody told me anything. I can just see it in your face," she replied,
as though she had already had this conversation a half dozen times. Maybe she had.
"Look," she continued, "all's I can tell you is that room is not in the original plans for the home. That means one of the first five tenants of the place has to have built it on their own. All of our records pre-1962 got burned in the fire, so I can't tell you the names of any of those people."
She rattled it off like the copyright warning at the end of a baseball game on TV. I was definitely not the first person to ask her about this. She made a motion to leave, and I stammered and spluttered, trying to think of anything to say in order to keep the conversation from stopping so quickly.
"If you're going to ask me what the thing is, I don't know," she told me.
Looking around to see if anyone was listening, she leaned in close and said to me quietly,
"I call it the ghost maker, except the ghosts that come out of it seem very physical."
"Ghosts?" I spit out. "I saw the air look like water. Ghosts come out of it too?" She rolled her eyes.
"Look, I'll take $5 a month off the rent. That's the best I can do. Maybe it's not ghosts. Maybe it's just spacemen from the outer limits. Why not put a lock on the door and forget about it?"
"Shirley says there's something in the basement saying obscene things to her."
"Well, tell her to wash its mouth out with soap," the landlady answered abruptly. "What do you want from me? I'm operating a business here. If you don't want the home, give me notice and I'll let you break the lease. Now I'm late and I have to go."
I started reading everything I could about anything weird and soon realized I might have what John A. Keel called a window area in my sub-basement. But still, nothing made any sense to me. How did the tenant who built the room know that this vortex or whatever it was existed in the ground under the house? And why was it there? Do these vortexes exist in other places under the earth? Or was this hole in the universe built here or conjured here? Does the room cause it to exist? If I filled in the room, would the vortex still be there? Maybe it was summoned using black magic or strange science? And if it was created intentionally, how could someone living in this working-class neighborhood in the 40s or 50s have possessed knowledge to create this? I went down there one more time just to try to understand this thing. As I opened the door, a small child was standing there. He saw me, then panicked and ran part of the way into the wall. Unable to pass through, he began to pull back, but he was stuck, which caused him to start crying. I slammed the door and ran upstairs, vomiting on myself as I ran. That was my last peek past that door. I took the landlady's advice and padlocked the room, but according to my wife, that only caused more noises to erupt from down there than ever before. Once she said the entire time she did the laundry, she was forced to listen to a woman screaming, "Help me," and "Please stop," while male voices laughed coldly. Another time she says she heard a collection of voices discussing the outfit she was wearing that day in a catty way. She had no doubt that they could see her, but she could not see them. Soon she began asking me to bring the laundry machines upstairs and seal off both basements. The next June, I got a surprise promotion at my job, and our first priority was to talk to the bank for a loan so we could move out of the mystery house. We were gone so fast, I'm sure the ghosts' heads were spinning, and the landladies, too. I kept in touch with two of the neighbors for the next decade or so, and they told me that the place eventually burned down in a fire that took two of the other houses with it. Rather than rebuild, the landlady put a kid's swing park there instead and raised all of their rents due to the neighborhood upgrade. Some of you feel safe in the city listening to scary stories of the country, and others of you feel safe out in the country when you hear scary stories about the cities. Well, let me tell you, I learned the hard way that no place is safe. Anything that can be imagined can happen in any place, in any time. Whenever you think you're walking on solid ground, it can turn to quicksand and swallow you up. And the creepiest part about the strange nature of our universe is you're never, ever going to even understand what happened to you.
Check us out on our YouTube channel, Scary Stories NYC.